Hi, Jock's preaching today, but I just have something to share. Being we're talking about the nations, I just want us to stand up and just thank God for Canada. Let's just thank God. Father, we thank God for Canada. We thank God that you've placed us in this nation, and we just lift it up before you, and we thank you, Lord, and we just claim that you are Lord over Canada, and we just give you the praise. We give you praise, God, and we thank you that you will use Canada in these last days, God, to bring about your glory from sea to sea, and we just thank you for that today. We're so grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. I just was going to share a bit of a testimony. As you know, we were away last week, and we ended up in PEI. We visited Jock's family for a few days and then ended up in PEI. We weren't sure where we were going, but we ended up at Providence House. How many know about Providence House? Nobody. Okay. Anyway, it's the Parliament Place in PEI, where John A. MacDonald and everybody gathered together to make this nation together, to bring us all together as a nation. And I don't know, we went in and we sat down, and they put on this video of Canada and how it all happened, and that we were in the very room that all this took place. And so we're sitting and we're listening to this, and all of a sudden, it was just like the Spirit of God came on me and said, I just started feeling, oh, Canada, I mean, it's so amazing, you know, that God brought us all together and he made this nation so powerful and so wonderful. And it was just a thankfulness that came on me. And it's amazing we're talking about nations today. But Canada. But what I'm really happy about is that not only being a citizen of Canada, but we are citizens of heaven. Really, we're just here temporary. We're citizens of heaven. And as I was thinking about that all the way home, it's a long drive. Anyway, I was thinking about that, and I don't think we really get that we are citizens of heaven. And as citizens of heaven, like even like Camilla, she went and became a Canadian citizen, and she had to go to Ottawa before the court and all that stuff. And she had to say, I'm going to serve and I'm going to live for Canada. And how much more we're going to serve and we're going to live for heaven. And our mission as ambassadors, like Jesus came and it says in Acts 1:1 that he began to do and teach. He just began to do and teach. And then he called us as ambassadors. So as citizens of heaven, we have to know the will of heaven, because it says in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as citizens, we need to know the will of God so we can bring heaven to earth. Because we are ambassadors in this country, in this world, actually, he sent us. And so I've been thinking about all this stuff and, you know, and how really to become a citizen, you have to be what? Born in this country, well, you're a citizen, or else you have to apply for citizenship. But in heaven, you have to be born again to become a citizen of heaven. How many in here are born again? You're a citizen of heaven. And so our real home is heaven. We're just here temporary, right? So our mind should be on heaven, and our heart should be on heaven. Because our life, I think Don showed us one time, our life with this big long rope was only this much. And all the rest is in eternity. So we should be more concerned about eternity than this little span, right? And anyway, I'm excited that I'm a citizen. I am a citizen of heaven. Are you a citizen of heaven? Amen. And we're going to bring heaven to earth. Amen? So Jock's going to preach, I think, today on the kingdom of God.
Thanks. A little bit. We just want to start a series for about a month, maybe more, on three things, which is really the most important things that the whole Word of God brings to us. And it's going to be called the kings, the key, and the kingdom. We have to be kingdom-minded. And we're not kingdom-minded. We're kingdom of hurt-minded. There's got to be a transformation in our life. by the Word of God. And I want to make things pretty simple, and we don't have time to go through, spend a lot of time in the Old Testament, but I want to talk about the New Testament, what Jesus brings. He's the King. I said He's the King. He has the key of the kingdom that we need to live here. And as member of this kingdom, we have to learn to live in it. It's not the same as a kingdom of the world. Kingdom of the world, you know what they say? You know, it's whatever you can get. Isn't that true? Kingdom of the world is, you know, if somebody hurts you, you just hurt them. And you know what I mean? There's a thing that has to change in our life, and the Holy Spirit is within us. How many understand that? How many understand that He is the great teacher? He is the great teacher. So I call this one, Hear Jesus. Say that together with me. Hear Jesus. A little louder. Hear Jesus. Now, I'm not saying H-I-E-R-E, like He's here. I'm saying Hear. I may not pronounce the H or whatever too good, but Hear Jesus. That's what I'm saying to you today, because He's the one that changed the whole kingdom. He's the one that remains with us. Bible says that He is the head of the church, and we are the body. So I'm saying to you, let's challenge ourselves, goes towards Him. Because He has the key, and He will show us how to live in this kingdom. Now, we get pretty religious, don't we? And this is not a religious book. You know, people who don't know God, they say, oh, this is a religious book. This is not a religious book. It's a life book. And God shows us through this whole book how to live, how to know Him, how to die, everything. So we don't want to lose the focus on what's important in this book. So many people lose focus. And maybe they build a big building. Maybe they do all kinds of stuff. See, every time I preach on the things of God, or the kingdom, or the Holy Spirit, or the blood of Jesus, people will say, Christian will say, well, this is not really practical. We want to hear about family. We want to hear about finance. We want to hear about different things we do. I mean, you can go on the internet, find all that stuff. But when we gather together like this here, we want to hear about the King and about what the King has said. Because if He's not in the house, if He's not in your house, then what are we doing calling ourselves believer or Christian? You know, Jesus was a pretty tough guy. He said things that religious people don't like. He said things that I don't know that I can do. He said some pretty strong statement. And you know, you kind of look at them, and most religious people, and there's religion in me, I'm trying to get rid of it. There's religion in you, and I'm trying to get that you get rid of it. We want to be Jesus people. We want to see Him as the King. What He said is very important. I know one time I met a guy, and when he talked about the Bible, all he said is the red. You know, like the Bible, what Jesus said is in the red. You talk to him, and all he did, he quote the red, saying, well, Jesus' words are very important, so he never quote anything else but the red. I mean, that can be pretty obsessing sometimes. Because the red doesn't belong there sometimes. Just because he says, I got to say what Jesus says. We have to understand what Jesus said first, then we have to do it. So I'll just stick to my notes here so I don't get away from my point. So Jesus said, you got to become a servant. That's one of his things that he says. We want to be boss all the time. We want to take care of everything. We want, you know. He said, no, you got to be a servant. So he said very strong statement. So let's look to Luke 9, verse 57. Luke 9, and we're going to start at verse 57. You with me? What's the title of my message? Hear Jesus. Okay, do I have 9? Yes, okay. 9, we start at 57, okay. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Have you ever said that to Jesus? Lord, I'm going to follow you. I become a Christian today. Hey, it's all about me and you. What's the next verse? And he said, and Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Meaning you're going to follow a man that doesn't know where he's sleeping tonight. He doesn't know where he's going to eat tomorrow. And you think he's got it all together. And you say, okay, God, I'm going to follow you, Jesus. That's what he was saying. Number one. He says, I have no place to stay. Meaning there's going to be things that you don't know now. And you're going to find out later about Jesus. You want to follow him? It's not just a statement, my friend. It's a commitment. You know, it's like when you get married. That's when Christos that pops up, right? You don't know what's going to happen, but there's a commitment there. You don't know what's going to happen after. Keep going, the next verse. Now, that's just one of his things that I picked, okay? They said to another, said, then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now, we understand that Barry's father was taking care of him till he died or whatever. Okay, it was maybe a little bit longer than just kind of put him in the ground. I got something to do. I can't go right now, but I'll go. Jesus says, follow me now. This is a hard statement, friend. We've got to go back to that because sometimes we see. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. There's another guy here. All right. Let's go to the third one. All right. Another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first. Did you notice all the but? In every verse, there's a but. But I got to go. And what does he do with him? First, I got to say farewell to all my friends in the house. When we got saved, we said farewell, my friends, to all our friends, my family, my wife's family. Do you think that was a good thing? Man alive, I'll tell you, all hell broke loose. We got tied up in a cult. We have lost our mind. All we did is says, Lord, we're going to follow you. That's all we said. But then we said, can't go there because of this. I can't go, can't do this. There was a division. And Jesus says, he says, I came to put a wedge between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter, and all that stuff. And you know, we say, oh, peace, peace, peace. I mean, if you're going to serve God, there's going to be a lot of wedge in your life. All right? And these three, let's call those three situations here, Jesus is just going right through. Follow me now. But, do you have a but? I know it doesn't sound too good, but you know what I mean. It means, do you say, but I got to, but God, you know, my husband, my wife, my family, my kids, you know? All he's saying, he says, follow me now. This is a hard statement. Church leader have a problem with that. And I could go and say another one, like, this is my flesh. You, I have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. This doesn't go over very well in the religious world. Because Jesus knows, because he was standing, making those stand, and everything he said was true. So, you want to follow him? Not easy. Not easy. Okay, let's keep on going. So, everything today is about the kingdom. I will be preaching on the king, Jesus. How many know we got to preach about Jesus? The key of the kingdom, how many knows you know, have to know the keys to live a successful life? And you have to be part of the kingdom. So, everything in the Bible, okay, as really two things I'm going to come. How many books in the Old Testament? How many books in the Old Testament? Come on, you all saints, you should know that. 39. How many books in the New Testament? 27. Some of you are good in math. So let me explain to you in a few nutshell here. All right? We have 39 and 27 book, okay, that forms the Bible. The Old Testament, listen to me because that's very simple. The Old Testament is about law, the law that gave to Moses, and the prophets. If you look in the New Testament, they always talk about the law and the prophet. Now, law includes what Moses gave, the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, Leviticus, a number, and yes. Those five books has to do with the law that Moses gave. Now, those books, I know some of you know, but just for those who don't know, they're called the Pentateuch, okay? Now, the Hebrew people know all those five books, and, you know, they memorize them and all that stuff, the Pentateuch, and the Mishnah and the Torah. It's all biblical book that's formed through those five books. After that, this is the law. Remember that. After that comes, after Deuteronomy, comes Joshua. Joshua is a prophet book. From Joshua to Malachi, it's all about prophecy, forecasting the birth of Jesus Christ, forecasting where he was going to be born, the town, what he was going to do, David in the book of Psalm, how he's going to die. It's all prophecy. All those books are prophecy. Am I right? Okay, he's a Bible teacher, this guy, so if I'm wrong, he's going to jump on me after. Okay, your name is Richard, is it? Richard, okay. All right, so there we go. All the Old Testament tells us about the law, about the prophet. But Jesus comes on the scene, and he abolished all that. Now, we're not talking about the Ten Commandments as the law. The law is what about the ceremony that they had, what you eat and what you wear, how you come into the temple with the blood of goats and holy days and all that stuff. That's all law, okay? I don't want you to throw the Ten Commandments out and go and do something stupid. The Ten Commandments will remain, okay? So here we are. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, it's the law, okay? And that's what Moses did. Joshua to Malachi, it's about prophecy. So let's go to the last words of Malachi. Can you follow me with that? Let's go to Malachi. Is Malachi a book of the law? No, it's a book of prophecy. All the prophets, Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they were all prophets. All foretold the birth of Jesus. All these guys came down and said, Jesus is coming. The Lord is coming. He's sending a king. Another one said, he's sending the Messiah. They all talked about Jesus, 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 Jesus is coming. Until John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist say? He's coming. The God is sending his son and he's coming. But you know what made John the Baptist so special because he was the greatest of all the prophets? It's because when he said, he's coming, he was there. From 1 second, he's coming, you're going to see him, I'm not worthy to tie his shoes, he's coming, and one day, Jesus is there. And he has the opportunity to say, he is here. He is here. That's what made John the Baptist greater than the rest. The rest never knew him. The rest only talked about him. The rest only prophesied over years and years and years that he was coming. They never seen him. That's Jesus. All right, so you understand that. Oh, we didn't read. Verse 4, Malachi 4:4. Remember the law of Moses. See, they're still going by the law of Moses. My servant, which I command him in Horeb for all Israel, with the status of judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Who's Elijah the prophet? John the Baptist. Because we can read it in one scripture that said, then they knew it was John the Baptist. Okay? Before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he will turn the ear of the father to the children, and the heart of the children to their father, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Prophecy. It's all about prophetic saying. Yes, there is story. Yes, there is a story in the Old Testament. But you'll see through it that they always point to Jesus, point to Jesus, point to Jesus until Jesus showed up. I'm here. I'm here. You okay with that? All right, let's go on. We have to take communion today. We got to partake of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. Right? Let's go to Luke 16:16. Luke 16:16. You know, there's so many things in the Word of God, right? Now the Pharisee who were a lover, I'm going to start at 14. Now the Pharisee who were a lover of money also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, You are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For what if is highly estimated among men is an abomination in the sight of God? Now that was bad reading, right? Now I'm supposed to read verse 16. Listen to that. The law and the prophet were until John. The law and the prophet were until John. Until John, but after John, there's no more law and prophet. And I want to show you what happened and how it happened. It happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Or I should say, there's another word that I should say, but I can't remember of it now. Okay. So let's turn to Matthew 17, verse 2. Matthew 17, verse 2. Now, there you go. Do we have it? And he was transfigured before them. Now, verse 1 says that he took, who did he take on the mount? Peter, James, and John. Why did he take Peter, James, and John? He seemed to take them wherever, you know, when he went into the house. I don't know. Maybe he was training those more than others. Who cares? We don't care why he took them. But we know one thing, that he took three witnesses of the transfiguration. Three persons that he take. Isn't that true? Bible says out of the mouth of two or three witness, let everything be established. And he told them, don't talk about that until I am risen from the dead. I don't want nobody to know. And so where are we? Okay. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Something happened there. Next verse. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Now, let's stop here. Who appeared? Moses represent what? So why didn't Abraham show up there? Abraham is the father of all. Father Abraham. A man, the son. And you know, Moses shows up there because he's represent the law. So he comes there and he represents the law. And Elijah, well, why Elijah? He was one of the most powerful prophets that there was. And I don't know, somebody, at that time, John the Baptist was dead. He died in chapter 14. This is chapter 17. I don't know how much time that gives you. But if John the Baptist would have showed up, Peter and John would say, hey, John the Baptist. But they picked, they sent Elijah. He appeared to them, and they were talking with him. Well, what were they talking about? What were they talking about? Well, nobody knows. They were talking about the law, because that's what Moses was strong in it, right? If they would have wanted to talk about kingdom, they would have had David there. Because David, he major in kingdom. But God sent Moses and Elijah. In other words, there was a I need two people here. Okay. How about, you have kids? No? Anita? Here? Christine? Come on, you okay? Come on. All right. There you go. So very simple. You're on the Mount of Transfiguration, big light. Three witnesses there, they're watching. And what's happening is Moses is coming, and there was a, I can't remember the word. It's not translation, it's a transferation, the Mount of Transfiguration, where everything was transferred to Jesus. The law and the prophet, it is done, more or less. And they were like passing the baton. Give it to me. Passing the baton, Jesus is taking over from now on. Jesus is taking over. And you go sit down. You go sit down. Thank you very much. And I'm not saying, I want you to understand that there was a change at one spot, somewhere, that gave Jesus all power and all authority. And right there was transferation of a, okay, it's like if you're running and then you pass it on to somebody else, and they're running, you know what I mean? Transferring from the law. You don't have to preach about prophecy in the way that he's coming. That has to stop because he's here. So Elijah, because he was a great prophet, was there, I guess. I don't know all the answer. But all I'm saying is on the mount, there was a transferation there. That's why they were talking about it, about the law. Now let's read what's after. Okay, let's go. Next verse. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, how many know Peter has always got a word, right? How many Peter do we have here? See, Anne? No? Lord, if it's a good thing in the midst of all this, he could have waited till it was over. In the midst of all this, he could still speak to Jesus. He said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. That's what he says, okay? Now, religious people will build tabernacle houses. And most of the time, they're surrounded with dead people around the building. Right? And I know of one church in Trenton where they buried the founding pastor under the altar. They buried the dead in the church under the altar. So how do you know that? What's in the book of the city? I read the book and that's what it says. I won't tell you which church. It's not here because that never was a church, so we're good. All right? And I come from a Roman Catholic background. In the church, there's a big altar in the middle. And there's one little one on the side and one little one on this side, which represent Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. Okay? People take what's in the Bible and make doctrine that doesn't amount to nothing. That's not. It's about the king. The king is here. Let's not build religious thing. Yes, we are a denomination. How many? We are a denomination. We are non-denomination. So that's another name in front of the church. But we don't want to stay there. We want to be people that follow Jesus, that we hear Jesus. That's who we want to be. Follower after him, so he can teach us and train us. So they wanted to make tabernacle. You know, when you go to Israel, they put a tabernacle over every place that is precious. When Jesus was born here, they put a building over this. Mary was she was talking by the angel right over here, and they put a building over it. And this is, there was a rocket that fell on Jonah's tomb, isn't it? Or somebody's tomb. In Israel. That's not supposed to happen. Whatever. Men build stuff. And Peter said, well, let's do this. Sounds good. Let's build 3 tabernacles. It's way out. That's not the kingdom. Now, and he says, one for Moses and one for Elijah. Jesus is trying to pass from Moses to Elijah. Next verse. Verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And now, stay with me. And suddenly, say suddenly. How come you don't say it like I do? Suddenly, a voice came out of the cloud. Now, who was that voice? Was Jesus throwing his voice on the rock over here and it was come? You know, I looked at how many times God spoke in the New Testament. Him personally, not an angel, or just God personally, and twice. One is when he got baptized. And And this is what he said when he got baptized, same way. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But in the other verse, in the baptism, it doesn't say, hear him. But here it says, hear him, because now everything is passed on to him. Don't hear the law. Don't hear the prophet. It doesn't matter anymore. What really matters that he is here. He is the one that you've been waiting for. It's Jesus. Hear him. And our teaching has to come from him. They have to be come from the Word of God. You know, God is looking at each of our life. And he wants the kingdom of God to be established in each one of us. You are part of that army that Tiana was talking about. And Jesus is standing right beside you. You know, it's awesome that now we can just say, God, show me your word. You know what I mean? He goes on and he shows us his word and we understand it. All right. What did God say? Hear him. And you know, that's all I can leave you with you today is hear him, because they have passed the baton on to him. And now Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We don't look to Moses. Moses was a great guy. We still, there's some law in the Old Testament that's, you know, like washing your hand, you know, not about ceremonial law, but health-wise law. There's about food. And this is all a good thing. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about ceremonial stuff according to the law. And that's why if people start to go into Jewish stuff, they can get really sucked up, because you got to hear Jesus. You got to hear him. Because he's the one who's got the key of the kingdom. He's got your key. You got to get a hold of them. Are you with me? Who do you follow? Jesus. His name is Jesus. 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 Now, this was a black church, that's when everybody would stand up and shout, Jesus! Jesus! Right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. It would be. I've experienced it. I know. They are really excited about Jesus. Okay? Us white folks with a little more reserve. I don't know. We have to get rid of that. Is there a way to get rid of that? Yeah, you have to teach us. Let's stand up, please. All right. We're going to have communion. I'm going to ask the usher to pass the element, if you want, right now. Who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Jesus. Who stands beside you in battle? Jesus. Who gave you everything you've got? Jesus. Who protects you night and day? Who's Lord of your life? Jesus. Who's Lord of my life? Jesus. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. See, we're getting there, right? Yes. Awesome. Are you passing the element? You go for it. Yeah, if you want to go up. Do we have the worship team? You can go up, and they'll give you the element there. All right.